Hey, what up, everyone? Welcome back to Freethinker Radio. What's up?
How's it going?
Sup? Glad to be here.
Micah.
Micah's here with us. Sup? And what's going on, guys? We are live right now on Facebook, on Freethinker Radio, on Wake Up News, Houston Freethinkers, the Derek Bros Pace, Conscious Resistance. We're live right now on DLive and Float. Shout out to everybody who's watching on DLive and Float. We're going to be playing some music tonight, as we always do. It's been 2 months of a break. We had our first show back a couple days ago. For those of you who listened, it was just kind of a shorter 30-minute episode. It was a fun episode. Yeah, it was good. We covered a lot of good things. Go back and check that out. As always, you can always find our information at thehoustonfreethinkers.com for our latest shows. We're on Spotify. We're on all the podcast platforms. Just search Freethinker Radio, all that good stuff. Anything else, guys, before we jump in? It's been a couple months. Anything to catch up? Events coming up? Things happening?
Yeah, well, we got Houston Punk Fest this weekend. That's got lots of bands on it. Bottom of the Food Chain, Dead Rabbits, Stupid Idiot, I think, BC Bench. There's quite a few acts on there. I don't have the full list right now. That is...
if you can type in Punk Fest, you can probably find it.
Yeah, Houston Punk Fest.
There you go. No, the market over in Heights is going on. Daniel Oviedo will be performing there, so that should be... It's always good when he performs, and I think in these times, as well as all times, markets are a cool thing to get into. I know the holidays are coming up, and, you know, sometimes people got these people they buy things for, and they stop places in a hurry because they don't even know what the people want, and they buy things at Target and Walmart. And I'm just saying, you don't have to come to this market, but there's lots of markets out there that you could, you know, spend your money a lot closer probably to your heart than Walmart.
Yeah, every weekend in a town near you.
Pretty much. But in Houston, 1245 Heights Boulevard starts at 8. So that's going on Saturday.
Sweet. And music and all that good stuff.
Yep.
Awesome to see that.
Maybe pizza. Maybe.
Sweet. Cool. Well, let's go ahead and dive in. I know we got a number of stories. I wanted to first start with some Houston news. I know we're going to talk about the kind of bigger... Of course, the injection, the vaccine issue, it's been going on for the last year and a half, and there's some developments happening on the federal level, on the local level, all kinds of things happening. We're going to talk about some police news. We're going to cover a few different important stories. And again, we always try to put everything on thehoustonfreethinkers.com after our show, all the sources, the things we're talking about. And we do still promote this show and broadcast on KPFT, 90.1 KPFT in Houston on the HD2.
It's cool to be on KPFT.
Yeah. We're on the HD2 dial. Airs Monday at 2 p.m. You want to check it out?
I also like being on Spotify. I know it's funny, but I do think the people that follow there will get in their release radar each new episode. So if you can't keep up, it's an odd time sometimes, you know. I know we broadcast on, you know, Facebook and DLive all on
whenever
different
we
days.
Can, yeah.
So if you're missing us sometimes, that's where you can follow and make sure you catch every episode, you know?
Absolutely. So, well, let's go ahead and dive into this. This week, guys, I was here, you know, here in Houston. I'm headed back to Mexico tomorrow morning, so I'm glad we're able to do one more live show in person. But it just so happened to be that, you know, keeping up with what's going on in Houston, I was looking for a press event where the mayor was going to be at, or Dr. David Peirce or Dr. Peter Hotez, some of these people who locally have been really promoting and pushing the vaccine issue. I'm really hoping I can get this video to play for us live right now. But if not, I'll tell you where you can go watch it and yourself. But I went to, myself and Miriam, went to this press event where Dr. David Peirce, the Houston Health Authority, and the Houston Health Department were holding a press event of vaccinating, giving the shot to the injection to the first kids age 5 to 11 years old. And in my view, thankfully, there was less than a handful of people really there for that. There was a few families there, but not really, you know, too many people. One of them was like a member of the Houston Health Department. So, you know, a lady, they had to get their own employee to bring her child in there. And she was a nurse, and I interviewed her. And I interviewed Dr. David Peirce. I'm going to see if I can play this now and get this to play the audio. I'm not sure if it's going to work on my screen. But if not, if it doesn't work right here, I'll show you where you can, again, you can find this yourself. Let's go ahead and pull this up real quick. This is that showing the right link? Yep. Okay. So this is on the ConsciousResistance.com on the front page. Go look up the link from just a couple days ago. Houston begins giving COVID shots to children despite extremely low risk. And so I basically was able to interview Dr. David Peirce, as I said. There he is. You can see if you're watching, if you're listening to the podcast, go check it out. You can listen or watch the interview. the audio you might not be able to hear right now, but I recommend you go check it out, because first I ask him why we're there, and he basically says, well, we're here to promote vaccines, of course, the kids are able to get the shots, and it's this wonderful, great thing, and we're so thankful. And he gives me that whole spiel, and then I ask him, the first question that I ask him is like, well, what do you say to parents who say that there's an extremely low risk to my child with COVID-19, so I'm going to sit this one out? And he said, you're right, there is an extremely low risk. He's like, we have had 600 kids die. And that's, again, if you trust their numbers and the way they measure death with COVID or from COVID or whatever, that's a whole thing. But if you trust their numbers, 600 kids in the entire United States is a pretty small fraction. Now, I'm not saying sorry to – I mean, obviously, that's horrible if anybody's dying from anything, I mean, that they're suffering or whatever. But I asked Mike, that's, you know, statistically pretty small. And he's like, yeah, he admits. He's like, yeah, that is a small – in his words, tiny percentage, you know. And then I also ask him about some of the Israeli studies and other recent studies showing that natural immunity is, you know, stronger than immunity from these shots, whatever they are. And he acknowledged that. He's like, yeah, there are those. And then he said, okay, there's some other studies that say different things from the CDC. So I'm trying to go on the best information. And then I asked him as well about the, yeah, so natural immunity, and then about the low risk to kids. And I can't remember the other topic, but basically my point with trying to do these interviews with them is not only are these important questions that should be asked, but they just get in front of the cameras, and all the mainstream media was there, the local media, and they just repeat the message of get the shot, get the shot. There's no nuance at all, right? But then whenever somebody like me asks him a question, he's like, well, yeah, you're right. There's extremely low risk, and yeah, maybe natural immunity is better, and you know, these kinds of things. And they don't get into any of that, right? And in fact, when Miriam, I'll just tell you this sort of background, I didn't say this in the video, but when Miriam and I first walked into the building, for one, because of the executive order from the state of Texas, they can't mandate masks inside government buildings. So that's already something, right? Then as I'm walking in the building, it says masks are recommended, right? So the building itself is saying masks are recommended. The press release that went out and said masks are encouraged. So I knew full well they couldn't really force anything. But once we walk in, one person's like, can you guys put on a mask? And the cop actually said something. I said, I think we're okay. You know, we're not being forced to do it, so we're okay. And some other lady's like, what? And she's like, yeah, the cop told her, yeah, they don't have to wear it if they don't want to. And so she left us alone. But before you know it, a couple other people came up to us and they're saying something. And we're like, hey, actually, we're okay. We're not going to wear it. You know, the executive order says you guys can enforce it in the government building. And they immediately started acting like, why are you guys creating a scene? Why are you making this political? You know, and we're just like, I'm not. And Miriam pulled up the thing. I was like, here's the executive order. Unless something else has changed. And she's like, well, that's according to the state, but the mayor says something different. And I'm like, well, I'm not going by what the mayor says. You know, the mayor, I know he has a lawsuit against the city or the state, and that's a thing going on. But unless there's something different right now, this is what it stands by. And so they kind of went and got somebody else and came back. But they were totally, one of the other journalists there was like, why are you guys making a big deal? Just put on the damn mask. Stop being selfish. Like, you know, they start, it's like all of a sudden, you know, they flip the things on us. Why are you guys causing a problem?
I just wrote something about this yesterday.
They're like, why are you guys causing a problem? You know, why are you making this political? We're just literally standing there saying, we're just going to do nothing. We're going to not wear it. You know, like, but they're making it like we're the ones causing the scene. And eventually they left us alone, but they wouldn't let us go to the back area where they were actually giving the kids the jabs. I'm going to move forward in the video.
I did some quick numbers gathering while you spoke about that, Derek. Turns out that in the U.S., there are 73.1 million people under the age of 18, and out of that, 600 would be 0.008 of a percent.
So that's exactly, not even
1%. Eight after three zeros with a decimal in front of it.
For those watching on the screen, look, this is kind of hard to see. They had all the mainstream media there, the local media there, and again, less than a handful of families there. Thankfully, you can see there's one in the background too. This is a father and his son, but yeah, it was just kind of hard for me to watch. I felt like it was necessary to document. They're giving this kid the flu shot and the COVID shot at one time. And that just doesn't seem like necessary to me. And obviously people have concerns about the COVID shots, and there's concerns about the flu shots. Those can, you know, cause issues. People get sick from those. It just seems like a lot to overload a kid's or anybody's immune system with. And here they are, one shot right in the arm.
Yeah, and some people go down from the COVID shot.
Exactly. You could, but they're like, go sit them out there for 15 minutes. That's all they do, is a 15-minute watch to make sure, you know, nothing happens to you in 15 minutes afterwards. And so, yeah, we're there asking people these questions, and it doesn't typically get addressed unless somebody, you know, goes out there and makes that effort. Any thoughts on that whole thing?
I don't know, man. I've thought the going after kids with the vaccines has always been a weird argument, you know. It's almost seemed like they're using them to, like, protect us, you know, because saying, well, you don't want to get grandma sick or you don't want to, I don't know. It's gotten to a ridiculous point. I think most of the audience is already pretty aware that you can still spread it with the vaccine and all that kind of stuff. So I was talking to my fiance the other day. I was like, you know, I haven't really been asked to wear a mask, like, basically anywhere in Texas in a long time besides some really lefty record shops and a, you know, and but I see outside the kids are still wearing masks at school.
Yeah.
And I think that's so weird. Like, I'm, like, walking around, like, so they get out of school, they don't have to wear a mask anywhere. But they go into school, they have to wear a mask, where the population's basically just
none of it makes children. Any sense, dude.
So, yeah, the inconsistencies are just, like, you know, we're...
All the adults at the sports games, like, totally unmasked and hanging out or whatever. And then, like, yeah, the kids at school being masked.
Yeah.
Just all the... It's...
Like, that's the weird thing that, like, that's the thing that, like, survived with it. Like, that's all the mayor could do. Because, like, all these different levels of government are arguing and stuff. And on that level, the mayor's like, well, if we could stick it to them with the schools, I guess. We'll just force these the easiest population to force into wearing the masks, I suppose. Would be schools, where it's illegal not to go to school. You know, there's parents who work. School. There's parents who work, and... They're not trying to be dealing with all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I get it. But at the same time, it's just unfortunate, I suppose. I mean,
yeah. It's happening, man. It's
one thing, I was trying to find an article about it. Maybe you heard about it. But did you hear about the new vaccine that's come out of India that's more like a traditional vaccine with the virus in it, actually?
That would be interesting to me because there's people who believe that they've never, yeah, exactly, people who've said that they've never been able to actually isolate it. So if that is what the other folks are claiming, then I'd be curious to see what's in it.
I mean, but also, like, just the children thing is also disturbing because, like, think about the booster concept of, like, imagine getting, like, a booster every year for the rest of your life from age 11, you know?
It's all a lot of trust, you know. It's a lot of trust.
You have like 200.
For what we see, what was that risk? 80,000th of a percent.
It's definitely not some. I don't know. I'm going to hit a quick music break, guys. We're just back for just a minute. We're going to play Fascist Punk real quick. Quick music break. Okay. Come back. We're going to continue the look at the COVID shot news, and we're going to get into some cop stuff. Maybe some more local news. We're going to take your questions. Including our first question of the day, will your child be getting the COVID shots? Let us know in the comments whether you're on Facebook, DLive, etc. Check this out. This is Stupid Idiot Fascist Punk. We'll be back in, like, what, 30 seconds?
Probably. Everyone should be like me. Go. Everyone should be like me. Nope. Well, doesn't sound like it.
Maybe.
Well. Everyone should be like me. Go.
Freethinker Radio, we're going to continue on. Guys, besides the vaccines, the shots, the jabs, the injections, whatever you want to call them, on the local level, it's happened in the city of Houston. It's probably happening now in the city you are in. Again, I'll reiterate, there was only 5 or 6 families there. There was no line out the door. There was barely anybody there. In my view, that's a good thing. People seem skeptical. People have questions. We did try to talk to some of the families. I encourage you to go check out, see what it's like locally. And if you're worried about this, if this makes you concerned, go out and put out information. Try to educate these families. A lot of them are just hearing what the mainstream is wanting to hear.
You go out, you might see something different than what the news is telling you.
Yeah, you might actually meet people, connect with them, get to hear their views, their stories, their ideas. So I put the question to the audience, will your child be getting the COVID shots? Someone says, I'd rather live under a rock than give my kid the jab. Nope. And someone says, save the children. No way. Yeah. They are after the pure of heart. Interesting comments. Thank you guys for commenting. Again, thanks to those who are listening on DLive and Float. We're going to continue the conversation. You've heard a couple months back, I think it was a couple months back, first when Biden announced that they were going to be doing some sort of mandate of sorts, right? Some sort of something. We weren't quite sure what exactly it was going to be, but some sort of rule about the COVID shots.
Doesn't seem to be really about rules.
Isn't it awesome how we all just wait for different mandates to come down now? We're just like, oh, what's the next order or mandate? Because that's just the new law.
Some people are just sitting around waiting for them, I'm guessing, but... So this mandate, though, was first announced a couple months back, but they were like, we got to work with the Labor Department, develop the rule, et cetera. So they had published the rule just this couple days ago, and it specifically says that by January 4th, all big employers with more than 100 employees and different federal contractors have to have their employees vaccinated. And I think there, in some cases, there is exemptions for like regular testing, like daily or weekly testing, and mask wearing. So basically, if you don't get the jab, you got to wear a mask and you got to get tested weekly or a couple times a week, something like that. And Greg Abbott here in Texas, Governor Greg Abbott, Governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, and others have, you know, threatened to sue. So the rule, now that it's officially published, a bunch of businesses filed lawsuits.
Sue who though? Biden?
Sue the federal government.
Isn't
basically.
Isn't that great how the government, they just sue themselves?
Well, it's the state suing the federal government, right?
That, so, but
it's
say,
it's more like, government suing the other government. Will anything turn out? I don't know, but I think it is interesting to see that this is becoming an issue. The one thing I thought was interesting about this, they set the deadline for January 4th because they said they negotiated with the airlines and different businesses that need travel, and they realized that this is going to affect travel. So they're like, just wait till after the holiday season and then put the rule January 4th. You know, so after Thanksgiving and Christmas, then they're going to really enforce that.
Well, we saw what was happening with the pilots and the planes, the flights being grounded. I mean, I'm sure it would just be, you know, just that again.
It says this is expected to cover 84 million people.
Pretty soon you'll be the only one that's not vaccinated.
84 million people, exactly. Like, so this,
that's a lot. Like, so what, like 84 million people who have yet to take it, or there's like 84 million people in general?
84 million people whose employers fit this kind of thing.
So
people who have 100 employees or more, like, so if you work at any kind of bigger business, that's going to affect you. So yeah, OSHA has published that rule now, Greg Abbott. So then here's the latest thing, just in the last couple of days. Federal court issues temporary halt to Biden's vaccine mandate over grave statutory and constitutional issues. On Saturday, citing...
It's got to be temporary because there's grave statutory and constitutional issues, but it's only a temporary...
Temporary stay?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Those sort of issues are only...
In fact, so they go on...
We're just going to make them a little less grave.
So the court said, before the court is the petitioner's emergency motion to stay the enforcement of the OSHA rule. Because the petitions give cause to believe there are grave statutory and constitutional issues with the mandate is hereby stayed pending further action by the court. And he said that this may be made permanent, depending on which way it goes. The government shall respond by Monday, November 8th. And I don't know if we got any updates, and shall file any reply by 5 p.m. on Tuesday, November 9th. So this is definitely an ongoing situation right now. And I did see earlier, let me see if it's still on CNN real quick, that the Biden administration was instructing people to ignore the lawsuits and ignore the court. And let's see if I can find it. DOJ asked federal appeals court to lift temporary order blocking the vaccine mandate. So they're basically saying, hey, please lift this mandate, this stay order. And then we have this. This is from the Wall Street Journal. This is published by, who wrote this? Sorry. That it says, vaccine mandate debate makes it to federal agency where Fauci worked. The NIH workplace of Dr. Anthony Fauci has scheduled a seminar on the ethics of mandates featuring a senior researcher who is pushing back. This is, I actually think, pretty interesting. Let me see if I can pull up the headline. So, an unvaccinated doctor who heads a research team at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, NIH, is leading a debate within the National Institute of Health, NIH, which is where Fauci's at, over the ethics of COVID mandates. Matthew Memoli, a 16-year veteran of the NIH, will argue against vaccine mandates in a December 1st live stream roundtable session over the ethics of mandates, which will be open for viewing within the agency to patients and the public. So that's kind of interesting. That's actually happening within Fauci's own agency. Memoli apparently wrote an email to Fauci in July and said that mandated vaccinations are extraordinarily problematic. And he said, quote, I think the way we are using the vaccines is wrong. He favors them only in vulnerable populations, but argues population level vaccination could actually hinder the development of a natural, robust immunity gained through infections. So some common sense coming from within Fauci's own department.
And he's just an anti-vaxxer, that doctor.
You know, he must just be an anti-vaxxer. Yeah. I think, though, that
The collective people was news here. Right?
This is something that they've, you know, that sort of mindset, of course, Micah, is what they want people to believe, that anybody who asks these questions. But I have seen other scientists and researchers mainly speaking out and having to go to the alternative media saying, hey, there is a culture where people don't want to question Fauci publicly because his agency gives out grants that they need for their research and
access.
They're afraid of, you know, kind of, yeah, having repercussions. And so this is interesting to see somebody within Fauci's own and a 16-year veteran within there, not just like some, you know, random person, but somebody who has he's specifically involved in ethics and debating this on around the ethics of it.
It seems like these guys, these ethic guys that raise questions don't typically last too long.
Moral issues. Thinking what? About what we're doing. Man, we can't talk about that. I mean, that'd be not about the issues.
What do you think about that, though? Do you think they have any? Do you think the courts are going to give a damn?
I guess they're reflective of the
one way or the other.
They're reflective of the greater society. The more people push back, the more people who have judges in their family talk about this, the more people that write about it, and it's in the media in different ways. Then, yeah, they're just reflective of the greater society. I think, you know, yeah, you know, they're going to represent a particular, you know, judges in general, but I'm sure there's some there that, like they said, have concerns for the constitutional issues and, you know, just different legal concerns about the, if not, you know, some other types of personal, moral, religious, et cetera, concerns that various people have. I mean, most of the time they want you to think that there's only some kind of religious exemption. Yeah. And then at the other flip side of the coin, the media wants to ridicule religions and, you know, spirituality half the time, it seems. You know, and I'm not taking any stand for any of them there. I'm just saying that's what it seems to come across the box. So it's weird, you know. And so it's nice to see that there are doctors and lawyers and judges that have serious concerns about this. You know, I think it's just reflective of the society as a whole because there's lots of judges. Look in just Houston alone. Every county, there's judges all over the place. There's doctors, so it makes sense. And I think, you know, maybe they want you to think that every doctor in NIH and every judge in the government and everybody is all, you know, lockstep on this one. And you shouldn't question, you shouldn't think, you should just accept and take that unknown thing, you know. And I think that, you know, the more of this type of evidence that comes out that respectable people are questioning it, it becomes more accepted for you to question it if you were afraid of standing up.
Yeah, I think you're right that it is reflective of just the
your arm
the
now.
World around us, you know, that people are paying attention, you know, and more people have questions and are asking things. And I just want to show one quick
example. At least you have examples of other doctors that go counter to the mainstream narrative that you're being told. So in a way, this helps some people to have, you know, a bit of an argument to stand on because unfortunately, some people just believe what people say. And yeah. So these people help persuade.
I think that's true with medical professionals and all kinds. And this, I'm just showing real quick this story from Dan Dix of Press for Truth, independent media out of Canada, where, dang, so many Canadians are getting the heck out because just this last week, it, you know, went into effect, like we said last week. They can't fly domestically, take a train domestically, take a bus.
Jeez.
So Dan's there still, and other people are trying to figure it out. And this, he did this interview, which I thought was interesting. Thousands of aviation professionals, from stewardesses to pilots who have lost their jobs, and I've decided, you know what, we need to fight for our rights, but we also, they're taking the stance of, like, we want to fight for your right as a passenger to be able to fly, and we're kind of standing with you. So they started this organization called Free to Fly, Free, the number two, Fly, and this is an interview with the founders that Dan Dix did. You can find this at pressfortruth.ca. I listened to it earlier. It's a pretty interesting interview, but it's just another example. You have professionals from pilots and stewardesses and people who are losing their jobs and facing, you know, very difficult situations right now, and it's happening to people across the board. You got cops protesting in some places, firefighters, nurses. It's happening in different ways, and of course, the mainstream corporate media is not showing it to you, but it's happening out there. There's definitely people pushing back.
I think that ought to, you know, show people a good amount there. Just like, you know, remember with the invasion of Iraq? I mean, some of y'all are old enough to remember that. Remember how much the mainstream was just reiterating the same talking points? That after a while, when reality is so out of square with it, you just got to, I guess, realize that it doesn't always reflect reality.
Absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and continue. I do want to get into some police news before we get some bigger pictures. I see some of the articles you pulled up, Micah, are dealing with the big stuff going on, the global financial system, which I think a lot of people are thinking about because we just got this great reset thing happen. We got the UN Food System Summit recently. They're now talking about the greater narrative, the great narrative that they want to launch. I mean, there's a lot of
talk of
financial stuff going on. But before we get to that, I do want to cover this story. This is an update on a previous story that we had covered about a friend of mine, Johnny Hurley, based in Colorado. And when we covered this a few months ago, he had just been killed by the Arvada Police Department. And it was sort of like we didn't have all the details. We didn't know what to think. And some of my friends, I think maybe even myself in the beginning, I was like, man, I don't know. People are immediately jumping to conspiracies about what might have happened. The situation that we were told was there was an attempted mass shooting. There was a guy caught on camera going out and just coming up behind cops and shooting two of them with shotguns. And Johnny, who was an avid gun user and was well-trained and kind of, you know, believed in self-defense, happened to be nearby at the Army surplus store. And he heard gunfire, and he literally just ran towards it. And he kind of, you know, we only have a couple of seconds they show of him on camera kind of running up and hiding. And he apparently took out the shooter who had killed the cops. And then next thing we know, he's dead. And they didn't ever really explain what happened. Sooner or later, they say, oh, well, what happened was the cop, one of the cops came up on him and saw Johnny over the mass shooter and the bodies of the cops. And they claimed he had picked up the shooter's gun, which doesn't really make any sense. And then they shot him. And they shot and killed him. So that's kind of the story, right? Now the latest news is the Arvada officer who killed him, and they recognize him as a good Samaritan. They want to build a statue of him in town and all this BS, but they refuse to release the videos of his actual murder. Nobody's actually seen what happened, what it looked like. We see video of him running across this field, getting behind this dumpster and kind of looking, and you see that. You don't see the moment he kills the mass shooter guy, and you don't see the moment he dies. And they've refused to release this footage. And so people have been calling the DA, trying to get this out. And he was involved in We Are Change Colorado and a lot of really other – he's just a good guy, like pretty well-known activist and like chef and just all-around good person. Yeah, the cops are definitely promoting him as like the hero of Old Town Arvada. It's like just outside of Denver. And, you know, like I said, talking about building a statue and really promoting it in this way. Unfortunately, at the moment, it doesn't seem like his family is kind of – trying to dive deeper into this, but I can say from knowing his friends and being one of his friends, most of the people there in Arvada do not trust the story and believe that there's definitely something being hidden. And even, you know, you guys know Reason Magazine, you know, the kind of libertarian magazine, they reached out to me because they knew that I was connected to this. And there's a journalist there, Matt, who I think he's working on investigations still, where we had talked to an anonymous source locally who had seen the shooting and definitely claimed that they killed him like with malicious intent because they believed he was the one who killed the cops. And then maybe after the fact realized, oh crap, we just killed the guy who saved the day. And they are refusing to kind of put that video out because it's going to destroy their whole story or whatever. Just like, you know, Houston and, you know,
well, it's like, it's interesting when you're like, we see in Houston, and it's strange because like the example you just spoke about in the last few sentences you were saying, like they did it thinking he was the shooter. What, and they're fighting it this hard over an accident, like, right, over a mistake they made, right? Like, mistakes are bad, but they're not as bad as, like, absolute ill intent to go in there to begin with. And I just kind of wanted to kind of bring out that distinction because, you know, you're saying, like, obviously this is bad and obviously it's tragedy, just like, you know, all the other deaths we speak about on this show. But it's weird that they would fight so adamantly to cover up a mistake. I just think that needs to be remembered. Think how much harder they're going to fight to cover up when they really do something deliberate.
Yeah, and who knows if it wasn't. That's what I'm saying. Ultimately, we don't know, right? We don't know if maybe they – who knows exactly what's happening? That's the problem is there are theories floating around. People have this and this. We have anonymous witnesses saying, I saw the cops comb over him and say something directly to him. Like, you know, we're not – literally, they let him bleed out. That's one of the accusations that this source has put out there that apparently witnessed it. That they were like, no, F you, you cop killer, you know, we're not going to get you help. And he's like, was still alive after initially being shot by, you know, the cop, whatever. So the latest news is the cop is not going to be charged and there's still no talk of releasing the video. Mm. And friends in Denver, I know, are going to continue to fight and in Arvada and that area. But the district attorney, Alexis King, announced Monday there will be no charges. The officer identified was Craig Brownlow was found to have reason to believe that Hurley was the gunman to have already shot and killed an Arvada police officer. But I do want to look into this officer, and I'm sure others might, because one of the other reports that we were getting was that this officer has a history of like violence and, you know, interactions. I can't confirm that at the moment, but if anybody does know anything about Officer Craig Brownlow of the and in this case, I would love to hear about it. Yeah, that with that particular story. And yeah, you know, I see there's a question here. Police still have qualified immunity, right? And I think that is the case. I think there was one state recently that passed a bill to get rid of qualified immunity.
I think I saw that somewhere too. But yeah, they do for the most part.
How would you explain qualified immunity, Micah, to somebody who's not familiar?
That they can't be prosecuted in civil actions against
any crime. You can't, like, sue man to man.
Yeah. You know how you can, like, sue an individual? They sued OJ, right? That even though he was found not guilty, they sued him. So often that someone will be found not guilty of the much harder, reasonable to doubt thing in a criminal trial. It's a much lower bar in a civil trial. They just have to have, like, reasonable belief that this person's actions contributed to something that caused
you
damages.
Then it's a judge decision, right?
Yeah, and then it's a judge decision to cost them this much money. Like, I don't know, maybe there was a club where fentanyl's being sold or something, and someone ODs, they could, you know, even if they can't prove the bartender or the manager caused that person OD, the lawsuit against the establishment could find them, the venue, responsible. So things like that happen. Like, because people are always after trying to find someone responsible, even if they're not responsible. So they often go to wherever the money is and try to make them pay with a civil judgment. So, but in this case, obviously, they can't pursue these things. And I think even in many cases, they can't even really pursue too much criminal out if the DA is not going to pick it up, Internal Affairs is not going to report it. So, you know, people go to the civil justice system because it's a last resort. It's hope to get some justice for their slain kid that they'll try to go, you know, sue him for manslaughter or something. Yeah. You know?
Well, to everybody out there in Denver and Arvada, I hope you guys will keep fighting for justice for Johnny, and that hopefully that truth will come out. I mean, unfortunately, not much real optimism in that department, but definitely important to keep fighting. I'm going to hit another real quick song while we roll along. I think we just need to pump out the music. It's been a while. This one's R.A. Rugged Man and Immortal Technique. We'll be right back. Freethinker Radio.
I'm the last one they should ever let speak. I should say politics, forget pros, and
Immortal Technique.
Our way of life is under attack. The survival of our friends is in danger.
There's a new housing plan for the ghetto eventually. Projects for a new American century. False flag terrorism controlling you mentally. The gospel in the hands of people with no empathy. A mixture of dangerous social chemistry between law enforcement and a military entity. Cameras on the corner of every corner you facing. Testing out a future Gestapo on immigration. Power, consolidation, information restricted. Just like the iron law of oligarchy predicted. Incarcerating the poor among the drug addicted. But not the families of the ruling class that's afflicted. Cause it's a fucking caste system like corrupted Hinduism. I think you should listen. I've been through the system in prison. I've been through religion. Carried the cross as a Christian. Like it was anti-disestablishmentarianism. Until the seeds of despotism arrested my vision. Lyricism with cynicism and syllogisms. Until they bear through Albi Sucampos and kill me in prison. Chemtrail conditions. Stem cells of Leo Strauss's philosophy. The birth of neocon policy. But I laugh at America's fear. A new world order controlling the hemisphere. Cause my people been living that for the past 500 years.
Intelligence, understanding, the facts they deserve to know. No governmental plan should impose its restraints against your will.
Who do we trust? Who
do we trust?
The faction.
Who do we trust? Who do we trust?
Intelligence.
Who can I trust? Who can I trust?
Expose crimes of the power structure. Enter the fire, cause the truth is now treason to the U.S. Empire. U.S. meddling in almost every foreign election. See where the next drone heading, civilian dead in the Yemen wedding. Barely reported because the weapons were exported from the politicians in the Pentagon. The Saudis bought it and the babies and the children were slaughtered. The authorization, altercation, deplorable, demoralization. Obedience to authority, colonize the minority. Social norm is to conform to the immoral majority. White superiority, secession of separatism, the terrorism of American exceptionalism. Go to Plan B, be free. Fuck the TV, fuck the PD, fuck a Tuskegee VD. Grave plot, soldier pop, corpse rot, spin over. Monsanto weed killer, non-Hodgkin lymphoma. Whistleblower, men are afraid to label the threat a traitor. Executive legislator trying to suppress your behavior. Intelligence interrogator, collecting metadata. Condemning the messenger and censoring the educator. CIA feed the propaganda to the television. In the next edition, the pundits preach it in repetition. Loyal to the monarchy, hereditary or elected. Fuck a royal family and fuck a president selected.
Secret society, the secret oaths. Censorship. Imposing restraints against your will.
Who do we trust? Who do we trust?
The faction.
Who do we trust? Who do we trust?
Intelligence.
Who can I trust? Who can I trust?
Knowledge of intel,
Informing and alerting the American people.
What's the cadet motto at West Point? You will not lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those who do. I was the CIA director. We lied, we cheated, we stole, stole. It's like we had entire training courses. It reminds you of the glory of the American experiment.
It's been too long. We know they've been busy. They were busy before COVID hit, and they ain't stopped. So I got this article here. I think it's kind of an interesting take on it. And the headline says a lot about it. I know we don't have time to get into it. We're heading towards the end of the show. But UN-backed banker alliance. UN-backed banker alliance. I know that's triggering some people right now. Announces a green plan to transform the global financial system. What do you think about just that, Derek?
Sounds like par for the course.
Sounds like something we should get into.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Most powerful private financial interests of the world. Under the cover of COP26, we've been hearing about that. Every time I turn on the radio, I'm hearing about it on, you know, mostly your NPR and other stations. It's big news, right? They've developed a plan to transform the global financial system by fusing with institutions like the World Bank and using them to erode national sovereignty in the developed world. Because, you know, the developing world, they think about what they can do with their resources and being
slowly erode national sovereignty in developing nations.
We're talking about the bankers. UN convened alliance. Think about that. Is that the biggest public-private partnership of all time to ever have heard of? Industry-led and UN convened alliance of private banking and financial institutions announced plans at the COP26 conference to overhaul the role of the global and regional financial institutions, including the World Bank and IMF. You know, they're going to overhaul the role. They're going to definitely reduce their power plan to transform the global financial system. The officially stated purpose of this proposed overhaul, per their members, is to promote a transition to a net zero economy. However, the group's proposed reimaging of the international financial institutions, according to their recently published progress report, would also move to merge these institutions with the private banking interests that compose the alliance, create a new system of global financial governance. Global financial governance. And erode national sovereignty among developing countries by forcing the alliance member group are pushing to recreate the entire global financial system for their benefit under the guise of promoting sustainability. Is it not all, have we not seen a global system reinvent themselves in the guise of promoting something positive before? Seems like it. The alliance.
Put a bow on it.
Yeah, put a bow on it and make us boss. The alliance, called the Glasgow Financial Alliance for Net Zero, also GFANZ, was launched in April by John Kerry, because, you know, he's a GFAN.
He said openly he's helping push the Great Reset agenda.
That's a big button to push.
Look at parties.
Yeah, John Kerry, I mean, you got to trust, right? You got to trust.
Former Bones member, cousin of George W.
Skulls.
Bush.
U.S. Special Presidential Envoy for Climate Change. And you're going to love this one. Janet Yellen, U.S. Secretary of the Treasury and former chair of the Federal Reserve. Those feds and Treasury and governments, they just all blur together. And Mark Carney, UN Special Envoy for Climate Action and Finance, and former chair of the Bank of England Bank of Canada.
Central
Carney,
Bank.
Who was also the UK's Prime Minister Finance Advisor of the COP26 conference, currently co-chairs the alliance with U.S. billionaire and former mayor of New York City, Michael Bloomberg.
Yeah, you know, like you're saying, Micah, about the public-private aspect. We've been talking about the Great Reset for almost over a year. They announced it in June 2020 is when they first announced it. But I didn't realize till just the last month or so, when I was first writing about this COP26 and the UN conference, and looking at some of the things they were pushing, that in 2019. 5 months before COVID, the United Nations and the World Economic Forum, the people behind the Great Reset, signed a partnership specifically to kind of convert the United Nations from being, you know, obviously we know it's problematic, but ideally it's this international body made up of representatives from each government and it's independent, blah, blah, whatever. But they made a straight up agreement to create, turn the UN into the world's largest public-private partnership, with the partnership between the World Economic Forum, which all their partners are all the banks, all the credit card companies, the oil, you know, just all these people from industry that are getting together to remake the world.
Cut by the year.
So the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, directly are partnered together.
The merger of global governance and
global
private corporations
is just
in one great corporatist entity.
It's right here.
The boat.
That's for the whole nation.
That's what I'm saying. So this really worthy article. It's only a 9-minute read as well, so it's not, you know, super long compared to a lot of her work.
No,
so.
It's not, and it does cover a lot. And as you get into it more, you start to understand exactly how and somehow these term players, such as people connected with the Rockefeller Foundation and others, are behind, you know, and are benefiting from this agenda and how they are trying to push it forward. Which, you know, in one sense, it's all light and love, right? Sustainability, but in another sense, often their solutions as, you know, the only way of sustaining this.
I think it's almost a little bit delusional that people on that level really do feel like they have the power to change on that much. Like, because they're gonna file their papers, and the money's gonna go where it's supposed to go, and they're gonna do what they're gonna do. But like, they're never gonna be able to get every crack and corner of the world to like bow down to whatever finance they want to use or whatever, you know, different systems that they expect everybody to hop on. So, I mean, it's just...
They can't stop the counter-economy.
Basically is what I'm trying to say, yes. They can't stop the counter-economy, but, I mean, this is them trying. And I just think it's like, it's just so crazy to have it in your face. Like, how do we not see the... It's going to be private when they want it to be private, and public when they want it to be public.
And that's the, you know, that's the fluid strength of fascism, right? I mean, that's what they were selling people. You know, it was an advanced new age way of governing people. Like it was marketed when Mussolini wrote the books on it, and it's being marketed again. I mean, it's being like told that, look, You people can't think for yourself. Here's a solution. It's going to make it sustainable. If you all think for yourself, you're going to burn the earth up and we're all going
to
die.
This is technocracy. We need the smartest elite, the technological elite, to make the decisions. And this leads us, I think, perfectly into the next story. Whitney's story was more focused on the United Nations, the sort of global picture. Obviously, the United States and North America, Mexico, Canada are part of that. This next story, though, brings it a little bit closer to home, to the United States itself. You guys have more than likely, if you've been paying any casual attention to politics, heard about the infrastructure bill, as they nicknamed it, and the Build Back Better agenda that's part of the Great Reset that the Biden administration's been fighting for, and they're trying to get, you know, the progressives and the moderates to support certain things and get the Republicans in, and they passed a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill, if you can imagine that. And that's a small percentage of what they wanted to do. They wanted to do... They wanted to sell out the next 100 generations of people into debt slavery, but they only got to do $1.2 trillion.
Definitely a free market. You're definitely living in a free capitalist system out there.
This was an interesting, the story shows vote was 228-206 with 13 Republican lawmakers crossing the party of Democrats to vote in favor of it. It broke week-long deadlock between moderates and progressives, blah, blah, blah.
Republicans and dumbest craps. Huh?
So they all came together
week-long
to sell out. And look, the Democratic leaders secured a truce after House moderates pledged to vote for the, and again, this is the name, Build Back Better Act, as it is currently written no later than the week of November 15th. So this is the first part. You got the infrastructure bill. They have this other bill, the Build Back Better Act, which is, they're trying to do even, like, they're basically trying to do like the New Deal, like FDR did back in the day, and have the government get involved in all sorts of aspects.
Textbook, like, 10 years Joe Biden with
passed the Build Back Better.
Saved us from Biden's the COVID collapse.
Better Build Back Biden.
Better Biden's
Build Back. Trillions of dollars of government spending that just came out of the air.
So $1.2 trillion, right? And a big part of this, and this kind of moves into the next story that relates to the financial aspect. Whitney was just talking about this.
One thing I'd like to say on that real quick is also look at how all these news articles are about the $1 trillion. You know, everybody's running around still complaining about, the free market capitalists as if we live in such, but also at the same time, they're pitching their corporatist agenda. Look at Market Watch. 5 infrastructure stocks to buy now that Biden's bill has been passed. You know why? Because that's where money comes from now. It doesn't come from people spending it being created. It comes from the tap, which isn't even money anymore. But look, our whole society is being structured by it. It's telling you who to invest in because they're going to get some of these trillions of dollars. And that's, don't you think some of these Robin Hood traders are going to just follow this advice? I'm just saying, you know, it's deep.
It is deep.
So essentially, and then, like, you're saying that
if you're picked for these new projects.
Yeah, so you invest in a company that's picked for a project in the spending bill.
Yep.
And somebody knows, is going to know who's going to get likely picked.
Mm. And then we also have the situation with new laws coming to help pay for all this.
Yeah, there's a lot of different aspects. Obviously, in a bill that's asking for $1.2 trillion, we have to kind of, maybe people are going to keep digging into it. One of the first aspects people are seeing that's worrisome deals with crypto, and people knew this was coming because it's been in some versions of the bill, and now it's in the final version that Biden is expected to sign in the coming days, which would institute some new rules for crypto. So basically where it's been, according to the government, the IRS, in 2014, they believe that by 2014, you should be reporting your crypto earnings, your gains and losses, treated as property, these kinds of things. They've had low compliance, and really it's kind of hard to know how much compliance, but definitely would seem on the low end, most people not doing it. And so that's kind of what it's been.
The next generation of crypto investors to not even know about it and to go through these exchanges that report all their stuff.
Well, they've got a lot of, definitely the more recent generation of crypto community, like, used to KYC, used to kind of already playing that game. So to some people, some of these changes might not make a difference, but the first aspect is basically they're saying that in the infrastructure bill, they're calling to change the tax code to make digital exchanges, crypto exchanges, where you, say you and me are doing a trade or you're trading with anybody, you would be considered a broker. And like one of the problems is people are saying the language is very vague. It's hard to know. It might be like where the miner is meant to be a broker, the exchange, the wallet, me and you, and that would mean all of us are supposed to collect tax ID numbers and like name for the people we're exchanging with. But in the case of being a miner or somebody who runs an exchange, you don't have that information. So it basically makes you be impossible to collect that information. And the bill specifically says failure to collect that information would be a tax violation and felony. So, and obviously it's designed to discourage like private use of That, but so here, for according to The Verge, it says one industry was surprisingly thrown into the fight last minute: cryptocurrency. When the Senate finally announced the bill earlier this month, it included a provision that could impose devastating new tax requirements for wallet developers and miners. Suddenly, the crypto industry and its few lobbying shops faced one of its largest regulatory threats ever. And so they're just kind of talking about this fight, but I'll show you another one I found.
I'm trying to understand how they know I bought and sold crypto.
Mainly for people who, like you said, the sort of the mainstream normies who would be using platforms that track their shit. There's stuff like Coinbase has already said, hey, we're going to hand over user information to IRS. Those places, and like you mentioned, Robinhood, a lot of people, or people who use Cash App to buy crypto, all these mainstream kind of entry points are going to be, there's going to be record. But
it's sort of seamless, like where it's easy for people or something.
Yeah, it's like more convenient, easy, but again,
Shapeshift just went.
All those places. Yeah, I mean, there's also increasingly ways. So, for example, if Johnny and I meet up together, we just exchange crypto through our phones, not connected to the internet, even more, just offline, you know, sharing of the crypto. There's no record of that anywhere, as opposed to like, but if I bought it through Coinbase and there's a public record and they turn that into the IRS, those people are probably going to comply anyways. But for people who are trying to use decentralized exchanges or things like Shapeshift, what are called like swaps, where you can just basically, according to the government, launder one currency to the other with no trace of it. People who do that, like right now, might be scared away from it enough to like, hey, I don't want to use it anymore. And you could see them scare enough people away that the crypto industry, other than the regulated KYC version, shrinks and there's no more private, decentralized, or at least a lot smaller of a space.
Crypto is doing just fine right now.
It's doing great right now. But so this thing, if it goes into effect, it doesn't start till 2023. You would have to start reporting by 2024, which gives basically the rest of this year and next year, if it does go into effect. But obviously changes would start happening as companies prepare for that. And
So it puts it right at the next presidency?
Around the next election, yeah, almost.
Yay.
Yeah. So, yeah, it says legal experts recommended amendments to the infrastructure bill that consider the failure to report digital asset transactions as a criminal offense.
See.
The inability to disclose crypto-related earnings will be treated as a tax violation and a felony. And you have some attorneys.
Then they don't have to know how much you had in one of these things. All they have to do is know that
you didn't tell them
that you had an account at a decentralized exchange. If they managed to raid or hack a decentralized exchange.
Yeah, well, for people who, if you're not really practicing any level of privacy, they could like, hey, look, you have an email. This email is registered on this decentralized exchange. We can't see what you did, but you have an account there and you must be holding crypto.
Well,
The rule specifically says that if you're holding more than $10,000 of crypto assets or digital assets, which really isn't that much for people who deal with a lot of crypto, $10,000 is pretty low. So that's like, if you move beyond that, then they're going to start asking for information from you.
Dang, they want to know about $600 in your bank account now.
Yeah, so, exactly. So this is just part of that. So the reason I bring that up is because I think it's important for people to realize part of the Great Reset agenda, the Build Back Better, all that crap, is they do believe in central bank digital currencies. That's what they've been calling them now for the last year or two as they're preparing the world for them. They believe in those type of digital currencies, which isn't a crypto in the sense of a private, decentralized, you know, opportunity to exchange currency. And I believe that's these kinds of steps are about eliminating that opportunity for more people to do private exchanges and make it where, yeah, you can use digital currency, but it's going to be through this narrow bottleneck that we can track and trace and everything.
And get a cut out of.
And get a cut from and pay tax, you know, all that same old game. And if they succeed in that, then whatever the potential of the crypto revolution will have failed if they succeed in that. You know, if like the space does shrink, because the idea is like, yeah, freeing people from banks and the best version of it. And if we only left with like the World Economic Forum tokens and, you know, you
all
end up
we
with,
get then is digital currency.
Yeah, exactly. Not crypto, just digital currency. Digital
money in the first place.
Exactly. And there's a difference. People need to understand the difference that between crypto and digital currency. But the other thing is, you know, it's, I feel like it would lead its way to the climate aspect of this, with speaking of the UN COP26, which is this talk of carbon credits and carbon allowances.
Well, it assumes they've got a right to everything.
Have you seen that, Micah? There was a study published or an editorial piece published in Nature Journal saying like we need to rethink carbon allowances, but not for businesses, but for you as an individual, like, you know, reinforcing positive climate, you know,
because the business ain't going to change
behavior,
because solar panels, boys and girls,
so that, you know, Micah, if you've driven enough already this week, your carbon credits have been used up, so you can buy more on the market if you want to, you know, from other people who have surplus,
just like everything. Yeah,
and just, but it's part of, I think that's the kind of dangerous side of some of the crypto aspect, but or the digital aspect, is they want to tokenize everything, but not in a way where it could lead to more freedom or anything, but in a way that's like tokenized, like, hey, make sure you get your water token if you want to drink today, or make sure you got your carbon credits if you want to use the shower. Make
well, it's tied you know, more to like their what they profess to be virtues rather than actual productivity.
Yeah, and clearly if you're not getting the jab or taking the shot and you just hate other people, then you're not going to be getting many credits.
Any credits, man.
And your social credit score is not going to be doing too well. But yeah.
College credits.
Anything positive to end the show on? Any other positive news going out there? I do know, I think we talked about this last week, right? Quebec in some places pushing back against some of the mandates.
We had some news that was positive throughout here, throughout this episode, I think. Well, we can just save it for the end.
That ethicist speaking up in the NIH, I think that's a positive development. That's like that should be front page thing. You know?
I think considering whether the mandates are constitutional or not, no matter how it comes out, the fact that it's even slowed down to consider it, I mean, yeah, I think that's the least they could do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd hate for it to go down historically that we all just started taking, you know, random injections because we just did.
Yeah. Well, based on the comments here, there are some other people who are planning on pushing back and not accepting it. I think, again, the situation is dire in Australia, dire in parts of France and Italy, but people are still protesting. People are still pushing back. A lot of Canadians got the heck out of Canada.
We should talk to Michael and some of our other Australian friends. We should reach out and talk to them. I know we had listeners from Australia for a while on this show, you know, on Local Live as well as when we first went over to KPFT.
They probably can't even hardly see the show.
They're probably not allowed to talk to Americans. You might get something.
Derek and I were talking about that a couple of weeks ago. In Australia, you can't share political things on Facebook.
Yeah, it's just like a virus.
Basically, China's red wall is beginning of. Don't they have like a great firewall of China? Great firewall of China.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're getting one of those, you know.
Well, and there's been talk in Europe recently, and this is, Mike, I remember, this is old talk, but it's coming back again now. It's all back in the talk to stop the disinformation.
Old speak.
But it's new speak to fight the disinformation.
Oh,
and that's,
geez.
You need an internet ID to log on to the internet. The European Union's starting to float that idea. There's at least one bill in committee. It hasn't gone anywhere in the U.S. yet, but it's like just shows that people are feeling safe to put these proposals out that, hey, the way to stop disinformation is to make every person log on to get onto the internet. Have a trackable ID that everybody has to get into just to get anywhere online, and to make sure that they don't, you know, get into that disinformation, fake information.
The next
out there.
10 years of life are just gonna be truly weird. I feel like our show always ends up on this point, but it just really is, like, you know, since we've been doing this, you know, when all this stuff started the past couple of years, like,
it's in our faces.
It seems like we're seeing the glimpses of the technology. We're seeing like the leaders kind of getting a little bit of taste of the kind of power they could have. And, you know, the people are a little confused and scared, but you don't have to be. You don't have to be confused and scared. You can take that power back in your house, plant a garden, you know, meet some friends, go outside, breathe the air.
Definitely
shoot
a
gun at
an
appropriate target, which, you know, means nothing that you will kill unless you plan on eating it. Hopefully not a human.
Don't be a cannibal.
There's lots of solutions out there, guys, and we're happy to be here with you guys.
We do not
talking
advocate
about this.
Cannibalism.
No, get out
cannibalism.
There, do something.
We're anti-cannibalism.
Start growing your food. There are some real concerns. We're going to continue to talk about them as long as we can. But at the end of the day, besides just this being a podcast and a radio host, we're trying to like inspire you guys to take action in your lives and really recognize that things are getting rough and we got to take care of ourselves. So until next time, peace.
You're beautiful. You're powerful.
You're free.
You're free.
Free.
Free. Free. Free. Powerful.
Free. I ask you about love.
Peace.
Totally vulnerable. Oh, my God. Put an angel on earth just for you. Just could rescue you from the depths of hell. And you wouldn't know what it's like to be her angel.
Time to time, there arise among human beings people who seem to exude love as naturally as the sun gives out heat. People who exude love are apt to give things away. They are in every way like rivers. They stream. And so when they collect possessions and things that they like, they are apt to give them to other people. Because if you ever notice that when you start giving things away, you keep getting more. In the same way as you empty out, you create a vacuum, nature abhors a vacuum, and more flows in. Now, so the question and the puzzle remains. You cannot imitate this thing. There is no way of getting it, and yet it is absolutely essential that we have it. Because, obviously, the human race is not going to flourish harmoniously unless we are enabled to love each other. But the question is, how do you get it? Is it something you simply have to contract like measles? Or is, as theologians say, is it a gift of divine grace which somehow is dished out to some but not to others? And if there is no way of getting divine grace by anything you do, as the Calvinists aver, then we'd better just sit around and wait until something happens. Although Calvinists never did that. They were almost depressingly energetic. But surely we can't be left in that kind of a hopeless situation. There must be some way of getting the grace or getting divine charity or love, some sort of wangle, some sort of way in which we can, as it were, open ourselves so as to become conduit pipes for the flow.